Hey everybody, welcome to episode 40 of Breaking In, coming live from Cheryl's kitchen. You're in the middle of cooking. Tell people what you're making. You're making a whole chicken.
In what we call meat TV.
Yes, rotisserie chicken.
Meat TV.
So we're killing two birds with one stone, making good food and having conversation. So if you hear chopping noises and grating noises,
I will try to keep it down.
Yeah. Okay, so the first thing that I want to bring up is, I hate to do this, but it's kind of vague. Cheryl and I have been doing some things behind the scenes this past week, and we will have a big announcement next week. So this is the announcement that we're going to have an announcement. things are changing. We'll keep you updated. More on the business front. Final Draft is actually putting on a meetup. So, peeps, if you're in the LA area, we are actually having a meetup. Cheryl and I will be there.
May 15th.
May 13th.
13th.
At 7 p.m. at the Cat and Fiddle with Reno 911's Robert Ben-Gurion and Thomas Lennon. They are also, besides Reno 911, the show, Reno 911, the movie, they are also authors of Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, which, by the way, if you haven't read it, you must. I promise you, you will get a whole ton of shit out of it.
Yeah, that's terrible.
There's going to be a couple of surprises, of which hopefully will be announced in the next week or so. And of course, we will clue you in when we know what's happening. But come out to the Cat and Fiddle at 7 o'clock on May 13th. It's a Monday. The meetup is going to happen from 7 to 9. And then at 9 o'clock, outside in the patio of the Cat and Fiddle, we're going to screen Reno 911 Miami. So it's going to be a great night. It's free to attend. Buy your own drinks. Cat and Fiddle that night is running a $10 pie and pint. So for $10, you get your
pot pie, right?
Yeah, shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
Chicken, meat, vegetarian shepherd's pie.
All right.
And a pint of what I like to call creative juice.
What time is the movie starting?
Nine. Okay, moving on from there, we have an email from our dear friend of the show, Sammy Montana, and our fucktard of the week, if you will. Sammy got a message from a writer via Facebook, you know, God loves Sammy. He's a big fan of the show. He loves what we do. And every now and then he throws us a bone where, oh my God, you're never going to believe what
found
this person
one.
Did.
Found one.
Yeah. Please talk about this on the show. And I know, you know, for, again, fans of the show who know, hopefully you're not doing this.
No, that's what's sad is that we have to repeat this.
We have to keep repeating ourselves. So this is a query letter, if
yes,
you will.
Yes, pepper people.
The query letter, if you will, was, "Hey Sammy, do you want to see some of my brilliant scripts?"
I'm so embarrassed for him. So embarrassed right now for him.
Sammy's response was, "Thanks for the offer, but no thanks."
And who are you? And psycho, stop following me.
Yeah. People, you know, we got into this discussion, I think it was a couple episodes ago, where we talked about reaching out to managers and agents via Facebook and social media. And this is definitely not the way to go about it. No.
No. You need a lead-in. You need somebody to refer you there. So, oh, here's his face. He said, I can give this to you. Not just out of the blue. Boom, here I am.
Which actually leads to a talking point that we wanted to bring up.
And then say you're brilliant? Really? Is that how you're going to go?
Yeah. When it comes to the question of how to get a manager and agent in Hollywood, which of course everybody wants to know, bad writers go about it this way. Good writers who are talented go about it in the proper way, which is just be a good writer, get to know people.
Follow
people
your
will
channels.
People will recommend
yes.
you.
Yes.
You know you're a talented writer when a producer friend or somebody in the industry says, hey, do you mind if I give this to my friend who is insert title here?
That was a great line. Where did we read that?
It was in reference to, well, we can't really talk about why that's in reference, but there was it was a thing. It was a comment on a blog that we read about. About
but
people.
But we found a blog that was very interesting about writing.
Right.
And that was one of the statements.
And yes, and it was this idea of you know you're not an amateur anymore when people want to recommend you.
Right. I want to give this to somebody.
Yeah, and that's kind of the, you know,
accepted way.
Yeah.
I know, which is few and far between. It's very sad that it doesn't happen all that often that easily.
Well, no, actually, I think that, yes, you're correct in that doesn't happen, but for the insider track, I think that's the way it does happen. You might have
got your nose in the door. Yeah,
you might have luck with you might have luck with contests. You might have luck with Pitch Fest. You might have luck with film festivals, whatever, but when you kind of get your foot in the door, it's really all about recommendation and people,
which we've said,
seeing talent.
Contacts.
Right. So going back to Sammy's email, don't do that, people.
No, and don't say you're brilliant ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Are you going to attach a test score?
I'm pretty sure. Well, you know, I can't say this with 100% accuracy, but I'd like to think that people like Quentin Tarantino or Aaron Sorkin do not walk around saying that they're brilliant.
Well, they probably do now, but...
Yeah, well, matter. Yeah, but then it just really sounds...
Oh, now it sounds stupid.
Right.
Yeah. No, totally true.
Okay, moving on to the next item. Voting has officially closed for our tearing up a movie.
I'm excited about this.
You people, what do you mean, you people? you people have voted for us to tear apart Pretty Woman. That was the clear choice.
Very exciting.
So, by a lot of votes, Pretty Woman actually got 42% of the votes.
Which we find odd, but that's fine.
Either you guys really hate this movie.
Yeah, I know, right?
Or really love this movie.
This is gonna be funny.
So look for that in the coming weeks when we have to find time to actually sit down and watch Pretty Woman, which is, you know, not high on our list of things we'd like to do. But
I'm okay with it.
I know
I,
you
I
are.
I have no issues.
But it's going to be fun. So
exactly.
That is the movie that we will be tearing up. Yay.
Shut up.
Want to move into sort of getting out of the business side and getting more into things that we are kind of really excited about. Cheryl and I spent this past week discovering House of Cards, starring Kevin Spacey. It's the first original content on Netflix, which we will talk about differently. I mean, I guess we could talk about it right now. This whole idea of moving away from the networks and the studio system.
It's like no conglomerate on something.
Right.
You don't get to control everything.
For those of you who don't know, it stars Kevin Spacey as Frank Underwood, who is the majority or minority whip. It's a political show, people.
Yeah. He's not secretary. Is he Secretary of State?
No. No, he gets denied Secretary of State.
Right.
It's the showrunner and executive producer is Bo Willimont, who wrote The Ides of March, the George Clooney, Ryan Gosling movie, and was subsequently nominated for an Academy Award. the writing is absolutely phenomenal, and the structure of the it's a 13 episode season, and the intricacy of the storyline and the way the structure is set up, never mind the characters. I mean, it's just, I don't want to go as far as to say it's a perfect show, but I think it gives shows like Breaking Bad, Mad Men, the high acclaim shows.
Yeah, it definitely it gives cheats. Them. It had, I found.
Well, cheats. Sure, yeah, but I mean, even Breaking Bad has cheats.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean, every show has cheats.
It's not like no flaws.
Right. No. And I'm saying, but
pretty damn.
It's
close.
Definitely perfect. At that high level.
Oh, yeah.
Of entertainment value, as well as just the phenomenal storyline. And if you want to study character development, I don't think right now there's any show better. I'm going to go as far as to say there is not a single show that is better in character development.
No, and if you want to
and relationships.
If you want to be able to tell a chess game between characters and that it's not a big cars blowing up drama kind of thing.
Right.
It's literally with speaking, you are playing a chess game and hoping that it's checkmate.
It's the right move, right?
Yep. Amazing. Really amazing.
The weaving of the manipulation within the story and sort of manipulating political congressmen, political figures, including the president, the vice president, all of these things. It's just fascinating to watch the story unfold. And even though, you know, I understand that maybe a show that's politically based might not be your forte, but if you can separate yourself from that and just watch it based on the character development mm-hmm. and structure,
yeah.
You will dialogue. Learn. And dialogue. Oh, my God. Dialogue.
Yeah. Amazing.
I will go as far as say, yes, there might be flaws in the story. There are not flaws in character and not flaws in dialogue.
Yeah.
It is spot on perfect.
And delivered as such. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's Kevin Spacey. The acting is phenomenal. But yes, if you don't have a Netflix account, get one. Get it for a month.
30-day free trial.
Yeah, 30-day free trial and just watch the 13 episodes. I promise you.
You'll be hooked.
Yeah, you'll be hooked. The other thing with that, too, is it's kind of groundbreaking for filmmaking, only because it's the first show that's kind of gone against the grain. It was that show was an experiment. Can you release original content without having the backing?
Using a network.
Right.
Yeah.
And they did it. And
easily.
Yeah. And
I was very happily amazed about that.
I just read an article in Forbes this past week that there are now more Netflix survivors, or subscribers. Shut up. There are now more Netflix subscribers than there are HBO subscribers.
Wow.
And they are attributing this show to that number.
And the cost. Hello.
Right.
Obviously. HBO, wake up. Smell the coffee.
So, yeah. These are things that we as creators want to support. Because we don't want to be attached to networks.
Oh my God!
Giving
them a run for their money.
We want original programming on Netflix. We want original programming on Hulu. We want these other avenues to break away from executives telling us what to do, essentially. And be Agreed. As popular.
Yeah.
You know, I take the bus down Ventura every day, and there wasn't a bus or a billboard House of Cards, that Kevin Spacey, they're getting the same type of advertising as a typical NBC show, but it's on Netflix. This is a good thing, people. It is Hollywood embracing the next era.
And they're doing a great job. They're not putting on reality crap.
Right. It's not Teen Mom.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry
about
that.
Fuck you,
MTV. Don't go. Don't go to Netflix if you want to watch Teen Mom.
Which actually leads me to another story, which I forgot to tell you. So, we had our second big Kickstarter campaign this past weekend, which I'm actually way more excited about than the Veronica Mars bullshit. But Zach Braff, who did Garden State, has always wanted to do sort of a quasi sequel to Garden State, his second movie, if you will. Not the same characters, but sort of the same idea. And he has just not been able to raise funding. So after the Veronica Mars thing, he threw it out to Kickstarter, and yay, he made his $2 million in... took him a little bit longer than Veronica Mars. But we are going to see a second movie written and directed by Zach Braff, and starring Zach Braff. And in the Kickstarter, if you do a search for it, the title is actually skipping my mind right now, but do a search for Zach Braff on Kickstarter, and he does a synopsis of the film, and it's a single dad in his 30s trying to figure life out. If you're a fan of Garden State, I promise you the synopsis is equally as intriguing.
Charming
and intriguing, yeah. And and for fans of Garden State, he has also promised a badass soundtrack, which won him a Grammy for Garden State.
Done.
So that being said, support House of Cards, support Zach Braff.
Agreed.
You know, if you're going to throw $10 on Kickstarter, fuck Veronica Mars. They're owned by...
Seriously.
This really is truly independent filmmaking. Veronica Mars was not independent filmmaking.
No, you're copying.
Yeah. This is talented people trying to do
something
great
different.
Things. Correct. Moving on to our last two points. So... Cheryl and I saw a couple of movies this weekend. So for those of you who feel like this is going to turn into a lame review show, hit pause.
Or
stop.
Just exit here.
Exit here. We went to see the fabulous Michael Bay movie, Pain and Gain. Here's how I got Cheryl to go see this movie. She's like, we've been trying to go to the movies for weeks. And I'm like, well... I said, well, maybe we can get to the movies this weekend. And she goes, yeah, sure, maybe. And then I said, well, if we go, we can go see Pain and Gain. And it's a half-naked Mark Wahlberg, half-naked Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
For
2 hours. Is that motivation enough for you? Lo and behold, we went to the movies yesterday.
It apparently was enough motivation for moi. The Rock in a torn-off tank? Yeah. I do that, and his oiled-up body.
So, it's based on a true story. I only have one comment that I want to make about it. You start. What do you have to say about it?
What I have to say about it is The Rock did great. It was
The Rock
a different
was phenomenal.
Character. It was a totally different character than what he's technically played.
Spoiler alert, he plays a coked-out...
Dumbass.
And his ability to play... a coked out dumbass was amazing.
Which doesn't make me feel better, but whatever. Right? However you got there. Was good.
I would probably go on record in saying, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong, but would you say this is the first time, and there's a couple of specific scenes when he's high on coke. Do you think that this would probably be the first time that The Rock has actually acted where he wasn't playing The Rock?
Right.
He was playing a character.
The Rock as a babysitter. The Rock as a teacher. The Rock as a... Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, yeah, he wasn't.
And that's he true. Proved himself. I mean, look, I will never shit on Rock movies, even the Tooth Fairy.
I would hope you're not in front of me.
Well, agreed. But, I mean, I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan. And it was nice to see him break out and actually do some acting.
Right. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
I'm sorry. Okay. A coked out dumbass who is a Jesus freak. Forgot that part.
Oh, right.
Because that's
that
a huge...
key. That's very key.
So continue with your comments before I make mine.
Other than that, as far as how The Rock did, I agreed with you after. the whole question.
Oh, so then
we're going into yours, unfortunately.
Leads into my comment.
Yeah.
I walked out of the theater, and the first question was, Cheryl, what did you think? We talked about The Rock, just like we're doing right now. And then my one comment, which I tweeted, was, I have no reason why anyone felt that this story needed to be told. There was no, absolutely no redeeming quality. And we had a choice. We were going to see The Rock yesterday. We were either going to finally catch up and watch G.I. Joe or Pain and Gain. And it was either going to be The Rock and Mark Wahlberg or The Rock and Channing Tatum.
And literally, it came down to time.
Yeah, right. It came down to time. And we both left the theater saying, we probably should have went to go see.
Yeah, G.I. Joe probably would be better. Yeah. But, it was fine. It was fine.
Moving on to our second movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have two comments about. We also saw Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem. Go.
Little disappointed.
A little?
You know what? Here's my problem. Is I keep giving him the benefit of, you're a newbie. And
he's
I
not,
think
though.
It's time. Yeah, that's in my head. I remember when he first started.
Sure.
So I got to the point
House of a Thousand Corpses was genius. Regardless of whether or not you like the horror genre, House of a Thousand Corpses went against all of those things that we say we hate about horror movies.
Right.
He went against the grain and did not do cliches. He fucked the cliches.
That's what I'm saying. I know there was a couple of his movies where I went, I'm going to give you the benefit. No, I'm going to keep going because I'm going to give
Devil's
you the benefit
Rejects,
of doubt.
And Halloween 2. The first Halloween was okay. The second one, not so much.
No. So I kept going, but now I feel like I'm just excusing him. You're not new anymore. Now you're just a dumbass again. So, no.
When you see this movie, and this is my perspective in terms of the cinematography and the set design. There was, just to really briefly, like film studies 101, green means safe, red means danger.
Okay, that was adorbs too, by the way.
It was probably nonstop.
I probably wouldn't even have noticed that if you didn't say something about it because it's so basic. It's not like it's...
The entire movie was green and red. The entire movie. It was, and to me...
Some black.
A little bit of purple every now and then. It reeked of, I just figured this, having gone through film school, I promise you, I have been in class with those students, the ones who just discover a thing and then make it
new.
Yeah. And it's like Rob Zombie just discovered cinematography and just discovered the concept of green means go, red means stop. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh my God. I'm going to subtly put that. No, it's not subtle when every room is shades of green and red.
Yes, every scene.
Every
not
scene.
Even just, yeah.
With the exception of the radio station, which I know we're talking about specifics, but the radio station was purple. Purple and orange.
Okay, like we just said, shades of blue.
Yeah, but anytime there was anything, it was... Oh, and guess what, people? Spoiler alert, anytime anything red happened, bad things happened.
Wasn't good.
It was ridiculous.
Unnecessary violence didn't mean anything to the story other than he wanted to get his freak on.
Okay, so do you have any other comments before I dive into my last two?
Not so far. Why don't you go?
Okay, so... I want to talk about the fact that this is a cheap ripoff of Rosemary's Baby.
That's right. I totally agree.
So much,
I totally got that.
So much so that we finish Lords of Salem and watch Rosemary's Baby to watch it be done better.
Yeah, true.
Look, spoiler alert, if you've seen Rosemary's Baby, you know exactly And the only difference
version of that.
The only difference in storyline was that I'm gonna guess if I remind me in Rosemary's Baby, they were Satan worshippers that wanted to bring back the devil, right?
Witches.
No, they weren't witches.
Yes, they were.
Were witches. They witches? But they were never.
All of them.
But they weren't
the
called.
The book was called Witches, all of them.
But they weren't.
All of them witches, sorry.
But they weren't called. Did they never refer to them as witches in the movie? They did.
Yep.
Okay, so then it's a flat out.
Oh, wait steal. A minute. Oh, you
no, I'm talking about Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, no, they said witches.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then yes. Then hands down, it's a cheap remake of Rosemary's Baby. I thought it was Satan worshippers versus witches, and the only thing Rob Zombie brought
witches,
in...
Witches.
Okay. Yeah. No.
All of them witches.
My last comment was, and again, I tweeted this, halfway through the movie, this is the best way I can review this movie, is halfway through the movie, I started cleaning the kitchen, and I hate cleaning the kitchen, but somehow I felt that was... better.
Yeah, just gonna play that movie from now on. That's done.
Yeah. I would say, if we're gonna sort of wrap up our little review here, Lords of Salem, skip it. I mean, no.
You know what? Mama. Not bad. Mama, not bad. No.
I can't comment because I... had to run errands and I missed most of it.
Oh, okay. Well, we should rewatch it.
Yes.
You decide.
Yeah, okay. So, Lords of Salem, skip it. Pain and Gain, don't go to the theater to see it, but definitely at a certain point see it. Just for The Rock's performance.
Totally agree.
I know there's probably a lot of anti-Michael Bay people out there. Although, yeah, there's the whole slow standing up, spinning around... and a couple of other scenes where it's like, fuck, Michael Bay, stop. You've done that in the past three movies. Stop doing that.
We don't care.
Yeah, there's plenty of that. Other than that, Rock's performance, it's so worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if you think he's hot, which I do.
And another just aside on Pain and Gain, it, not only is The Rock half naked, but he's half naked and wet. The entire movie.
He's oiled the fuck up.
They sprayed him before every single scene. Because it takes place in Miami. So they're trying to... humidity and whatever.
Yeah.
And on that note, that's it for this week. I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Till next week, peeps.
Peace out.